Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan. Doesn't need to be on for Shaka Khan, does it?
Steve Lawson, aka Solo Bass Steve, walks off at the sound of Shaka Khan. Are you allergic to Shaka Khan?
I'm kind of impressed that memes can last that long in one person's head that no one else shares. It's like,
and that person is Mr. Benjamin Crime.
I might Yo, be off the right.
I'm ready. Shaka Khan. I'm ready.
Okay. We need badges.
The only person wearing a unicorn today is, of course, Benjamin Crime.
The Anki, please.
Anki.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Mr. Documentally.
I prefer the Ankh shorter.
Yeah, but that would be, I don't know, isn't that something Egyptian?
It is. Sorry, yes. Anki then.
Yes. So
like hanky, like you blow your nose.
Oh, yeah, okay. That disqualifies you from so many things right now.
Hey, I've got my second name's Pain. I have
Payne.
Instant forgiveness
Why
for
did you
those
not train
like
to be a
in
doctor?
The neck. Well, yeah, it's a good point. It would have been
you
quality.
Could have teamed up with my friend whose second name is Di. If you'd both gone to evil medical school, Dr. Payne and Dr. Di.
Yeah, well, I'd get all the business.
Yeah, boy.
Because one is worse than
Shaka
the other.
Khan.
I click record on the off chance we may have a conversation of sorts, and we may have to go back in time with memes. Speaking of back in time, when was the last time you came to a Tuttle meetup? Because we are actually stood at a Tuttle meetup.
Five. I'll have a look on my last video I made. I think that's when we got banned.
there was a
Bad
period of
boys.
There was some indoor racing near some expensive artworks.
I nearly said abstinence, but yeah, I guess because on both counts, there was a video made. There were some questions about said video, and so we decided to remove ourselves from the equation for a while.
We came back though.
It is fun being back. I mean, it's 4 years since I was last here.
It's when you take creativity to the edge, this environment.
There's a vitality to it that is kind of the sense of possibility here is kind of amazing, and absurdity as well. Possibility and absurdity at the apex. That's good.
It's all about getting everyone together, isn't it? You know, to do so. Like, we used to just bring video cameras and just we shoot whatever, like going through some drawers. Somehow that became, you know, just get some video cameras on and then edit it together and see what happened.
And I was fearful that we'd stop experimenting, but I guess we're just experimenting in different ways now.
Well, I think that's it. There's a diffusion that happened after this. It was kind of this was the big bang of social media weird shit in London, and we all exploded out, and now we're sort of coalescing and kind of coming back and going, what have you been up to for the last 4 years? Or you wouldn't believe it. You know, it's that kind of thing. We've all been off doing crazy things, and maybe now's the time to
get the band back together.
I was sat there at the table chatting to you, in fact, thinking, I wonder if I'm a lot more serious now than I was in the olden days.
You sound a little bit more serious. I read your blog sometimes. I do.
No, I just got to learn a really good spell check. It makes me look more serious.
Oh, yes.
Serious autocorrect.
Yeah. Well, I think we're still talking about the same, but for me, anyways, I've learned to speak about them a little bit more seriously and be taken somewhat more seriously as well.
There's a lot of the novelty that has worn off in the stuff that in 2008 it's like, oh, Twitter, Facebook, well, this is all mad, this is great, badges, those are all good.
I could just tweet about badges all day and no, it wouldn't matter. Right now I just think over it a little bit.
A lot of that novelty is now utility. So we don't just do things for the sake of it. It's not like I'm tweeting because Twitter's great. It's like, well, it's not even a thing anymore. It's just part of the background of what we do.
Are you dependent on platforms like Twitter? Let's take Twitter as an example. Are you dependent on it?
Oh, God, it's still a serendipity engine. But the weird thing is now that I mean, just on a kind of... there's an economy of scale. And so now having 10,500 followers, which is, you know, one order of magnitude greater than we had last time we were here, probably, that all of a sudden that brings with it a layer of serendipity. When I'm coming to London now, I don't plan where I'm going to stay until the day, and I tweet and go, I need a couch, who's around, and get a whole ton of offers. And so it still works in that way. But I split it between Facebook and Twitter, because depending on what time of day it is,
Is it a one-day wonder? I mean, do these people ever invite you back?
Yeah.
One-hit wonder.
I don't tend to actually crap on people's sofas and eat all their food.
It's the toothpaste thing, you know. Yeah. Bring your own.
Yeah. But it's not, there isn't the adrenaline rush of doing that stuff. And back in the day, every Friday morning was an adrenaline rush because we would be doing something new and everybody was watching. Silicon Valley were watching. That we would have people from big tech companies in government. I mean, when government started showing up at Tuttle in 2008, going, what's going on here?
That's because we were dangerous more than
ever. But it was both brilliant and kind of weird. We were like, can you not sod off? Because we want to get on with weird shit. And then they started recruiting and it got a bit establishment at that point, which is kind of, you know.
Yeah, like the agencies have whole floors or even whole buildings now dedicated with people tweeting about brands and trying to like, for example, I tweeted O2 the other day saying, you're a bit rubbish, sort out my phone. And they've got it down now. They apologise and say they wish they could do something or they wish they could, and then they really, really professionally seal it off so they don't actually help you. But they've got a kit. Before, they would like be like, and they'd make a massive mistake and it'd be in the paper.
They'd actually help you.
Yeah. And they would, but now they've just got a really good way of getting you to
send him to the maze.
We invented that vernacular. We invented the way of doing that. So there's a whole. I mean, you in particular, because Amplified and what it was when we did it was basically the whole identity of it was me copying you.
I'm waiting for the check. No.
So back in the Seismic days, you developed a whole way of doing voice to camera that where everything from the angle that you held the camera at to the way you spoke was one that a whole bunch of people went, no one's done this before, we're going to do it like that.
Well, I held it high like that because I had a fat chin.
Yeah. But it became
now
a thing.
Has a fat chin.
But there was also it became an orthodoxy of its own. Mm. And so me copying that was the thing that then people would go, we want to hire Amplified because we want that to be the public face of what we're doing.
Have we become bitter in any way when it comes to looking at the kids? And, you know, I have a regular rant. No, I mean, I'll sort of look at anybody. I have a regular rant about the uprightness of video, and I'm not going to go on about it here. Just because
kids
back in the day, when you're talking about the ways we used to do things, we could hold the phone landscape, we could hold the phone upright because we knew that we were going to get two different effects. It was like there was more choice.
Oh, I regularly have a rant about not being listened to, absolutely, because we were the people actually doing this, we were people doing stuff with it, we were talking to each other, and then when they needed advice, they went to people who had just made up their mind to become the new Twitter experts and not to us. And I still have a rant about that regularly, even though that's now 5-6 years ago.
So you think being a part of the journey gives you a certain amount of providence, a kind of
Well, at least we're doing it, you know, and we have been doing it, and we're not just early adopters in terms of using it, but we've used it for amazing. I mean, you've done amazing stuff with it, you know. On good days, you know, and been out and about and documented everything, and you know, sort of done really.
It's weird because when we came into this in like the mid 2000s, a lot of what we were getting excited about was popularized channels. We're talking about a platform that anybody can have access to. Say, for example, Seismic as an example, asynchronous video where we were unable to look into the camera, which came built in our computers. We weren't necessarily buying bolt-ons like the early adopters used to. And we were able to communicate in video across great distances. Yeah. When you think about people like Steve Mann and those people that were live streaming with a backpack computer and hacked cameras,
and that weird one-hand keyboard.
Kind of coming in as kind of half-assed hackers in a way. So, you know, if anybody has a right to kind of go, listen to me, you know, I was there before, you know, when noughts and ones were still visible on the screen.
But Seismic is a really interesting one because that, in terms of enduring relationships, that there's a consistency to what happened there. But what's telling about that is that it was closed. So there was a trust thing that it was a bunch of people serendipitously thrown together. There were about 70 or 80 of us on there.
Mainly that's still something America. That I haven't seen emulated. I don't know because I haven't been. There have been some really fascinating. I saw a couple of forums around Minecraft and other things that got closed down. And I'm trying to remember. And I saw a little mini documentary on how there was a Second Life. gathering, a forum got closed down, and these people had known each other. They felt like in a physical space via their avatars, and they were the one guy crying his eyes out on this documentary as he's saying goodbye to everybody because the server was being switched off.
You remember what happened when Craig Manganiello died? And that, and this bunch of people, no one had actually met him, I don't think.
No, I remember a guy with an oxygen tube in his nose who was pretty much full time in his bedroom, and I'd only have to say something in passing and he'd make a song about it.
Yeah.
Or I remember blowing the top of a bottle on Seismic going, hoo, 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 and I just jokingly said, remix that, and then an hour later there's a whole song based around the bowl. He was amazing. And then to see his last tweet, going in for surgery, wish me luck or something. Dark times.
I think that's the last time I got drunk was on Seismic actually.
Really?
There's a load of videos on there of us larking about. It's really fun. But I think the reason that those things were exciting for me anyway, same with Twitter, is that that it was when the public stream was still relatively not many people in it. So you put a video in and everybody would see it, you know, and react, and you could start conversations with anyone on there. Now they don't have those, because there's so many people on these services, like and Twitter also, you can meet people straight away. You know, you tweet something and everyone would talk about it.
Most of us had access to the full public timeline when we joined Twitter. So you would actually, I mean, and it was mad, because but you would occasionally drop into it and go, that's quite funny.
Yeah,
and
you'd just
tweet people and make
people.
Friends.
Global.
Now you miss everything, and you only really have the people, you know, you'd have to search for stuff.
You have to search for Nicki Minaj and then follow her followers, because they're
the interesting
ones.
Exactly, and you have to get Anaconda.
There must be some threads, like, I mean, you've, Anki, you've been a regular at Tuttle continuously, haven't you?
Yeah, a bit, yes.
Because, I mean, we've taken large leaves of absence due to be honest, a lot of times I'm working away or in different countries, and it's a long slog to get back to London.
And I can't travel. I'm pretty much stuck here. But there are worse places in the world to be stuck in.
You made some jumpers, though, didn't you?
I made dresses and jumpers.
Yeah, they're really good.
Other things, yes.
So has there been an evolution in the mindset or an evolution in the attendees of Tuttle? Because it's got to be approaching its 8th year soon, 7 years now.
I think so. Well, obviously we're all different. Some of us have done, you know, these free projects and come up with ideas and just done them. And others have gone into digital agencies, and others have completely lost track of all of this and completely left the industry. So
back in the day, I kind of have a feeling, I don't know if this is true, that our freedom to experiment and our freedom to play put us quite a good few years ahead of industry. Now the industry's got involved and is no longer thinking, oh, we need somebody to do that. Now it's like we need to just plug digital into the whole infrastructure.
What was brilliant about what we were doing, both with Amplified and what you were doing as an independent, was that everything we did was about training as well as about doing it.
Yeah.
So everything we did was visible. So we avoided getting into snake oil, where we went, we're going to build proprietary services and charge for them forever, because it would have all fallen apart if we had. What we did was we went in and went, this is what we're doing, this is how you can do it.
Yeah.
So we made ourselves obsolete at that level quite early on, because now all the stuff that we were doing back then, particularly the event stuff, everybody does it now. You can stream.
I was talking about this earlier on. I was at the Open University yesterday, and I bumped into a guy who is doing a training course, which I began doing.
Yeah.
And I had a little bit of a feeling that he felt a little bit uncomfortable talking to me about, oh, well, it's just solely for academics, which is what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I said, this is great. I'm doing a great job.
Yeah.
I am passing on. If I can't go into a company and make you sustainable, then you're going to end up being constantly dependent on me. Surely that's not how we teach.
And I think because we came in with that it didn't end up becoming a space where everybody was trying to do it commercially. That there was this kind of non-profit approach to it. Well, we needed to get paid because we were doing a job, but we weren't trying to build Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah.
That we didn't.
And plus, making something look really complicated and building an agency around that is more profitable, and making the clients dependent on you doing the work for them, rather than, you know, sort of doing projects.
And there are
that
definitely people that do that.
Yeah, the whole industry is full of those agencies because they thrive, right?
And there were people who copied us and then went, great, I'm going to go and do this as an agency. There were a number of companies and stuff, and I'm kind of all right with that as well because there are people who...
It also keeps you on your toes.
With an Amplified, there's a lot of stuff that we turned down. I mean, we did one banking conference and then we're like... Maybe because the whole purpose was that it had to be open. We got asked to do stuff with the Big Society early on, and we went, no, there's way too much of an agenda here for us to be able to come in and go, because we needed to be in a place where we could say, this is all bullshit if it was.
Whatever happened to Big Society? Didn't they get whitewashed and disappeared?
I think it's currently under investigation, so we can't really talk about it.
You're writing a book at the moment.
I'm writing a book basically about the approach that I took when I first did my first social media projects, which was purely based on handing over ownership of the project. And then sort of I came up with this methodology for these courses, which was purely based on giving people, you know, the ability to use their voice.
Isn't this against kind of startup mentality in a way, almost kicking back against? If you look at what Audio Boom, for example, is doing now, where we I don't know if it's because they're about to sell, but they lock down their login, so you can't just hear the audio anymore, which is something we wouldn't subscribe to this. We would not have got involved in a platform that demanded that the moment it landed on the Twitter link was there, you had to sign up to see the content because it's going to inflate their membership numbers.
Well, yes, and startup mentality is, you know, obviously making money, which is why I said if you build an agency around handing over skills and ownership, then you better have a very good marketing because you're going to run out of clients. But on the other hand, this is for the client. This is the best model because they end up with something that they own, that they can use, that really sort of shows tells the stories of what's happening inside their organization, right? Which is the best marketing you can have. You know, this is passionate people talking about their work. There's a fully fledged business model around what I'm doing, except for the agencies, it is easier to do it the other way, to say, don't worry.
We're looking after this for you.
What has been interesting is realizing how us using commercial open services becomes problematic for legacy and archive, because when a service shuts down and it's not like you're not using archive.org or something to host stuff, all of that shit vanishes. Yeah. So when Posterous shut down,
oh my God.
We suddenly went, hang on a minute, Amplified.
That rise Amplified had really quickly, didn't it?
We had all of our event-based stuff was on there. So I've got a Post Haven account, which has it all kind of, it's all sort of widowed over there. But links.
Funny name at Post Haven. Could have called it Save Your Ass or something like that because it was a great little business model.
This is what
they shut it down and then offer salvation.
Yeah, everyone was like, it's really easy, Posterous. You've got to get on Post. Yeah. Really leave it. It was like, then like, a few
there
months
were some
later,
people,
like,
some people stroking their chin going,
I told you.
Almost too easy.
One of your domains was actually run off that at one point.
Totally. I had something like six that I use regularly from painstake.com, Bush Tech, a number of them. Luckily, thanks to Richard Matney, was able to migrate a lot of stuff and just amalgamate it. And I'm thinking one place that I control that's backed up in a number of different places.
Absolutely.
And I wrote a tweet the other day which keeps getting kind of regurgitated along the lines. If you care about what you're doing, host it yourself.
Yeah.
Don't give it to any of these.
I'm doing this with audio now. Because that's the other thing, is that bandwidth is now at the point where we can do that. Where, I mean, my Gmost account has unlimited bandwidth, so I can probably start.
Well.
I can build a front end for it that's audio boo ish.
You rely on Dreamhost, don't you? That's the only problem.
Yeah, that's true.
You're relying on someone.
But I can have an offline backup of that. I can keep a regular zip file of everything that's on there.
I've got a lot to thank for the kind of the chaos that happened to the photography business while I was a photographer and realizing that I had to step up. I'm wondering with you, Benny Crime.
The badger business.
Now that everybody can stream live, now that everybody has high quality audio on their mobile devices, you being like pro video, pro video editing, pro credits, animation, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Have you seen disruption?
I think the main thing for me is filming. And if people want corporate stuff filmed properly, they still hire someone, you know, with proper kit. But sometimes I do get people coming to me and they're like, oh, we paid this guy 50 quid and he fucked it. He shot it on his phone. And it's just like, I'm like, well, maybe I can save it. You know, I get people coming to me and they pay me to fix whatever it is they've shot or reshoot it. But mainly I try now and do more animation stuff, you know, that's totally custom. So like they want something, we storyboard it. We animate, you know, and so it's not one of those, you can't go online and get something custom, really. You can go online and get that thing where you have a puppet that animates and it's all really terrible.
Have you ever cut off someone's head and put it on a dancing body with UFOs flying around?
Yeah, well, that is just basically...
you did that for me!
Half of the course, mate. Yeah. That was Dell. Sponsored by Dell. But I'll tell you what happened recently...
This section of the podcast is brought to you by...
By that company that's probably on its last legs right now. I think it makes
nothing
old,
to do with
really
the videos.
Chunky laptops, which are terrible. Everyone has a computer in their pocket now. Dell, go home. Something happened last year.
Or just change your branding to App Dell. You
still
might
hire
confuse
us. Still hire us. Yeah. Something happened to me last year actually that is that reminded me of the old days. Vine. So I started doing vines and stuff, you know, blah, 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 6 seconds, aha, look at my face.
They were good.
They were good. And brands started getting in touch. And so I made, for Vita Coco, I made a series of 10.
Did you never told me they were sponsored? It was me liking
them. No, they weren't on, they were on their account. So it was all, you know, above board and not secret at all. But, you know, that reminded me that when companies don't really know, you know, they go on social networks and but it happens, the rise and burn happens a lot quicker now because the networks are all plugged in. Everyone's got everything goes attach your Facebook account. It automatically brings in all your friends. Before, with Twitter and stuff, you had to slow build and you met all these new people. Now it just leeches in your old network. Everyone gets on there and goes, oh, this is really fun. And then,
and that's the weird thing.
I think I find most weird.
Saturation and burn. Because Vine's got the same problem now, is where there's loads of people on there just posting rubbish, and it's really rubbish.
You mentioned the Facebook logins. It's weird because in 2008, if you described what Facebook is now, we would have gone, that's the worst possible thing that could happen.
Completely
this is awful. Yeah. And now it's so mundanely evil.
You mean a social network though, that
you
can...
They bought that, and it is basically, like, if you look at it now, that's exactly what it is. That's where the like button came from. Yeah. It came from FriendFeed, because everyone loved FriendFeed, and it was an interesting platform.
Can you imagine pitching
news?
It now? I've got this great idea, right? Everybody uses it. Everybody's sharing everything, whether it be private, in inverted commas, or not. And through the ability to manipulate the news feed, we can manipulate their minds.
Yeah,
I love it. How much does it cost?
Yeah,
if you wanted to vote for you, we can make them vote for you.
Yeah. So in answer to your question, basically I do more specialist and custom stuff, you know. Obviously the lower end is all covered by people, you know, because any kid can buy a camera and a very cheap laptop and edit stuff now. But for the
higher
end,
you have the ability to do 4K
stuff.
People still don't want that,
and
what's
people still
there?
Want to go through the process, and still people will still want someone to answer emails and go through problems and all that sort of stuff, which a lot of those kids won't do, you know, the 50 quid and they don't, like, they don't want to take someone into a big brand meeting about a video who's just like, yeah man, got the backwards baseball cap. Do kids still wear those? Maybe it's more like a hipster thing with their penny farthing and not listen during the whole meeting
and the unicorn t-shirt.
You know, so there's still a place for professional stuff, but I tend, you can charge a decent amount now for animation still until the computers take over. But the value in normal everyday video is kind of a lot less. You know?
I love that. Until the computers take over.
Yeah,
I still like the
fact
that computers are having an issue with wit.
they
can't do wit very well.
They can't do anything, really, can they?
But there's also the fact that
you can't wash anyone's bum.
You've
not been to Japan,
rubbish.
Have you?
Yeah, no. Okay.
Photography is a really interesting kind of touchstone for this, because as the level of kind of the basic level of photography has gone up, that you don't now get a reel of 32 pictures where two are usable and the rest of them got your finger over the lens.
There's an app that will do it for you though now.
You're not seeing
you're not seeing wedding drones.
Have you seen the one where it hits the person in the face? They're
wedding
doing the wedding, it's amazing.
But that's going to happen to a lot of things. So Storify does a lot of the work that we were doing in 2008, you can now do automatically with Storify. But then what we then get to do is to put another curational layer on top of that and go, okay, if we do this properly, rather than just the mundaneness of sticking a hashtag in and collecting everything, we can start to retell stories of what other people are doing. So there becomes a journalistic layer. And so in the same way that your video skill becomes useful, your training and my training as journalists becomes one that we go, because we understand the tech and we understand storytelling and we understand journalistic integrity and how to push the boundaries of that.
A bit.
Yeah. but we can then do that. And so there are people who will do it in a kind of mendacious way on behalf of businesses to lie, and there are people who will do it as a kind of protest thing and use it to amplify kind of important stories and social whatever. And then there's just a kind of straight up news side to it. But that's still something that the people can come to us and go, we don't understand how to do that. Can we pay you for your time?
It's interesting how they, like, you have sites now with where the stuff that you guys are doing with Storify and putting tweets in posts and just posts around like 10, 20 tweets, how their sites just, like BuzzFeed and things like dedicated to doing that now. They, like, literally take 10 celeb tweets and make a post out of that.
And we did that on WordPress in 2008. Yeah, that was how manually we would blog about an event. Yeah. The last blog of the event would be a bunch of embedded or screen grabbed tweets before you could embed them.
Yeah.
And with a document of the thing, and that's what we would do.
That's mainstream.
Yeah, in my mind, these events, you know, and the hashtags are still one of the most useful things that Twitter can do, nothing else. But I don't know if you've seen that events actually don't care anymore. And I'm still
asking
the same.
They're just assuming people in the audience are going to do it.
Yeah, but don't even set a hashtag. It's kind of, and so this was actually an event earlier this week where, which was about sort of organized by the Open Data Institute, where they didn't even set a hashtag. So and then the people that were tweeting from it with a likely hashtag were the people I already knew, right? So like Emma Crossan and Emma Coleman and, you know, names that I... So it's almost like with all this amazing stuff that we could do, there is not enough people actually... Like I said, who does the evangelizing? Who now does the talk that inspires people to actually use this technology to do the things that we need it to do? Because if I can sit in a room, there's a stream, I can see all the people, okay, this is, you know, these are the people I should interact with and talk to. The usefulness of being there at the event for these few hours is multiplied.
And you've got to bear in mind, a lot of this is written into the process now. I've been to conferences where the sound bites have come out of the official Twitter account from the speaker seconds before the speaker's actually said them. And I'm thinking, hang on a second. You know, it's where's the serendipity there? It makes me want to disrupt and actually cause a little bit of, you know, maybe humorous chaos.
I recently had a meeting about an event, and it was interesting to have somebody who wasn't part of that scene earlier on in it looking at the affordance of social technology now and coming up with new ways of doing stuff that we didn't do. Because I think there's the place where all this, where the future gets interesting is when people who are sort of interlopers into this world and us as originators of so much of what was of that methodology of how we do it, all the stuff we copied off you, that we have that as a basis.
Just keep saying that, Steve.
No, I think,
I only bought him one coffee. This is a buy.
You can't see this, but he is handing £50 notes. He's putting £50 notes into Steve's back pocket.
It's true. I mean, I did it better
than
you.
Hashtag sponsored.
But you're hairier. You did it hairier than me. I'll take that.
But we were a really good team for a while because you did the kind of inquisitive storytelling bit and I did the academic big words bit.
Yep.
And actually, and then we crossed over and you started doing...
I still don't know any big words, don't worry about
but
that.
But I became a better storyteller and you started doing university stuff. So I think that there was a swap there. And that's happening now with people coming in with newer ideas who are looking at things and going, well, because of this being the way it is, we can do this. And that's kind of interesting to see, and I like learning from people who've come in without that baggage. But I also like going back and having these conversations going,
but don't you think
is kind of special?
Yeah. Half of me thinks that coming in with the fresh eyes and fresh mind is going to give people an edge. Half of me thinks you've kind of got to know the past.
They do reinvent the wheel, absolutely. So there's a lot of stuff that people come in and go, I've got this wicked great idea, right? And you go, yeah, that's really fucking mundane because we did that 8 years ago. And the reason we stopped doing it is that it's dull.
Let's do a Foursquare, but make it orange and much more graphically more superior. And we could call it Goala. I still miss Goala.
When I first kind of saw the potential for Twitter, actually, it was at an event. It was like, I think it was at the O2 or something. And because it was right at the early days when you went to something and you wouldn't get a response from anyone when you were doing at the supermarket or anything like that. but because there was like 50,000 people there, there were at least two other people there, and you'd meet them. And I go, you know, and I think we did a theatre event. My then girlfriend, now wife.
Waves his ring, his wedding ring.
Not the other ring. I went up and met. We had a hashtag, and this was right. This was 2006
for the
2007.
Wedding.
No. For the event in 2006 and 2007. And, you know, I went and people who said they were coming and stuff, I went and, like, found them in the audience and stuff and could shake hands. Now there's so many people on.
There are apps that will do that for you.
That was exciting. Yeah. Now that's commonplace, you know, that you'll meet someone.
It's not a big deal anymore.
You'll meet someone and go, I'm at this event as well, you know.
But I stopped getting excited when somebody came up to me on an aeroplane, spotted my wireless SSID, and said, "You're documentary." And I'm like, "How do you know that?" I picked up your Wi-Fi, walked down, looked for a guy with a beard. There you are. And I was like, "Cool, let's get a drink." Because they're free.
But it still happened to me this morning. I came in here and there's a bunch of, there's us who knew each other. But there's a woman here who had missed the early days of Tuttle.
Yeah.
And we got chatting, and about 5 minutes into the conversation, she went, "So what are you doing?" I went, "Well, I'm Steve, I'm solo bass Steve." She shat herself like I just told her I was. I'm Mick Jagger, by the way. Yeah, I'm the Pope, yeah.
Oh, that was Anna
Crutcher. I've got
Yeah. And which is kind of lovely. That's there is still that cachet to what we did early on.
This is what
she's gone through the archive. She's watched everything, including the video we got banned for.
She's read all 145,000 tweets that I posted.
I remember wearing my avatar on my T-shirt, which I don't know back then may have maybe looked a bit like a knob. It didn't necessarily feel like it because for me it was that I'm walking into a conference and nobody's going to know that we have digital lives, like. We do now because the apps are connecting us.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do in before tweeting and all that sort of stuff because of clients and everything like that. Like before, I used to like go, "I'm going to go and hunt some badgers in the forest." Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't. I'm making it up, but you know, I don't even know where to find badgers. Really, I mean, like I know they're underground. I know they're in like
backpedal,
not in urban areas.
Brian May is just showing up because he's geotagged you.
If I tweet it, like Brian May turns up on my doorstop. He wants a cup of tea. He wants to lecture me about hunting badgers
or
even touching. But leave him alone. Leave him in the hole. You know. Did you know the interesting fact about Brian? May is the only person to have both played at Ming the Merciless's wedding and the Queen's so he did both, didn't he? You know, that's an interesting thing.
They should have done football fight at the gym.
I don't think anyone else survived Ming's wedding, actually. Yeah.
So, 8 years from now.
Oh my God.
Shaka Khan.
The Shaka Khan meme will still be in action.
8 years from now, I will have my PhD. And so I'll be have left all of this bullshit behind. I'll just be going around the world talking about music and getting paid loads of money.
I was thinking yesterday, I started working casually, it's not a full-time gig for me, with the Open University beginning of 2007, I think it was. So I've been with the Open University for, because I was doing like YouTube for videos from the phone or something along those lines, for 8 years, and I still don't have any qualifications.
I'm about to start PhD, and I don't have a degree.
What are you doing, Ian?
Improvisation.
Well, that's easy then.
That's very good.
Surely
what are we doing today? Make it up.
You've got a PhD in make it up.
We're going to make some paper
make it up.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's starting quite soon.
That's like everyone in theoretical thought.
No, it's quite a specific portion of it. Not just like making, not like having
you
no plan.
On musical physics.
Musical.
Okay, yeah. So
it's a music PhD. It's about improvisation.
I thought
and
for a second.
Group dynamics and audiences and how they understand it and listen to it. But a lot of this stuff that we've done will play into it because part of my train of thought about this, and the reason that I got into social media in the first place was documenting my music life in a way that allowed me to play music people wouldn't have understood in any other context.
So you had to explain it.
As a solo bass player, it's like, how do I get people to come with a different expectation? So they're not turning up expecting me to be really showy and flash.
Couldn't you just have pretended the rest of the band had a car crash?
It's like, kind of going, really sorry,
but I'm going to carry on.
All my bandmates are dead. It was my name of my band. We're going to go and see All My Bandmates Are Dead tonight. Yeah, okay.
That is a good one. I bet there is.
There's a whole angle there.
I bet someone's already
got. What are you going to be doing in 8 years? Will the robots and the computers be doing your job?
I'll be dead.
Drone badges.
I will be a cybernetic individual.
I hope somebody takes that. I'll be dead.
As it ring
samples it.
Yeah.
It's going to be my ringtone.
I hope they do. I'll be a cybernetic individual. probably. I mean, we're all set. Apple Watch coming out soon.
There's no cybernetic individual. You'll be the only... Oh, unless you're Windows.
I will be Microsoft Surface 5.
It'll be your face. You'll be the face of phone.
Well, you imagine... I mean, see how quickly things have accelerated. You know, we've got smartwatches.
He says, looking at his Pebble Watch, and today you're going to the Apple Store to try and bully them into...
Oh, they won't. They won't. They've done this launch.
Have you not done the shaky hand with the Apple guy, magic it off his wrist trick?
Oh, no, I haven't, actually. Yeah, so back to the question. In 8 years, I mean, you think how quickly everything's moved.
It'll be, 2023?
Yeah, there'll be no barrier between the internet and you anymore, really, you know. I mean, there isn't now. Kids are learning... straight from the internet, and they're going to school and stuff. But I've learned anything. No, not all of them. you can learn anything. There's this computer in your pocket that basically tells you everything. Hmm. Where can we go? Where do you go?
I was a little disturbed when my little boy said to me, "Can't you just Google it?" And I was like, "All right," because I want to be the dad that knows everything.
Yeah, that generation in 10 years' time. Well, they're going to just.
Can't you just print it?
I think the first time that my son said, "Daddy, don't put that on Twitter." Like, he must have been probably... He's probably under four.
It's getting dark.
When he realised that...
A picture of him on the toilet.
He would say something funny. I would laugh, look at Lo, and he'd go, "Daddy, don't put that on Twitter."
Brilliant.
And you'd be like... That just in terms of the expansion of human thought and perception...
People are using hashtags.
Your kids, actually, Minimentally and Flapjack... For my young person, they I think Minimentally was the main inspiration to get on Twitter themselves.
Wow! Because that was 6 months. I think is one of the only Flapjack was on before he was born as well.
Flapjack had a Twitter account before we told our parents that I was pregnant.
Yeah, my little boy 6 months I think before he was born. So early.
Because there was you, then there was Jemima Kish, and then there was us.
Yeah.
But that was the three that kind of were like, let's see how far we can push this. The unborn child with
and
the
I've had people come say, you know, people I trust and know, this isn't just kind of sound weird now, say, it's really weird how I feel I know your little boy. When he's 16, you know, if he needs work experience, I've got businesses all over the world.
Oh my God.
Just let me know. I feel kind of like I owe him for the entertainment given me all this time. And I'm like, you know, that's me tweeting, but it's kind of
I get strangers who come up and they'll go, "How's things?" And the second question is, "How's Flapjack?" Yeah. And it's like, what, like the food stuff? I quite like it.
But then
they kind of go, "What is it okay to know his real name?" And I said, "Of course it is. We don't put it online because we want him to be able to disown that persona at some point. To go, my parents were dicking around with an assumed name for me at that point. Mm. I don't want to be that person.
Good job, it's not Flapjack.
I don't want to be that person, and that's great. So he gets to.
I've got a dilemma at the moment with Mini Mentally. I mean, he's not that mini anymore. I might have to max his name up.
Max.
Well, that's what we changed Baby Flapjack to Tiny Flapjack, and that was his choice. So I went, "Who do you want to be on Twitter?" And he went, "Super Amazing Flapjack." And I went, "That's too long. And he went, "All right, Tiny Flapjack."
Tiny Flapjack.
And that was his second choice.
8 years?
Yeah, I wonder what happens. Well, in 8 years, I'm still thinking of children and what happens when they get their rebellious phase.
I've got some rebellious names already booked.
you got the domains?
I've got both their real name domains and Gmail, even though I don't let them on it. They use Tockermail.
Gothumental.
I don't know.
What are you going to be doing? Your book will be finished, obviously. You'll be on your third book.
Well, I'm just hopefully going to be listened to.
Hang on. Get some violin track quickly out on your phone.
Yes. No, but, you know, just be in a position where I can go, okay, I'm going to talk to you, you pay me, okay, everybody's happy.
Yeah. Well, I think a book will do that because you are delivering a condensed piece of knowledge, whether it be digitized, networked, or in paper form.
That's
it'll be interesting to see if it does go full circle because a lot of us started out practical. We then got into a space where we had ideas for money. We then had to get practical again because a lot of those ideas became mainstream because of what we did. And I wonder if it's going to get around to the point again where we get to theorise again on top of what's happening.
Yeah.
Because like when we did the stuff with the British Council, and you and I got to go in and do, I mean, eye-wateringly well-paid masterclasses for stuff with them.
I made that my fixed rate since.
That's right. Which is why I now live here.
This is my cabinet living room.
I thought this was a work of art or something.
No, this is my house. But we did that, and we got to go and have really good ideas for money, and the value in that was...
You really felt like you had to deliver.
Yeah, but yeah. And we did. And I'm still in touch with a bunch of those people, and a bunch of them are still doing things on a daily basis that I watch, and I see it, and I go, we taught them how to do that.
Are you having fun?
Doing that otherwise. Am I having fun? Oh, God, yeah.
You're just about...
Nah.
No way, I'm never having fun. Never. Never. Never.
I'm too serious for fun. No, but it's funny actually.
Shaka Khan.
You said
Shaka Khan.
But the whole thing where I started very practical, and now I have to go and theorize around why I did what I did and go with, okay, this is why I set it up and this is why I set it up, starting from the person, starting from the people who were there, who I was working with, and then where did they want to take it and stuff. So anyways, going a bit more serious. But yeah, so now I have to theorize why, and you know, why this approach is better for everybody in the long run. So that's what I'm doing.
Well,
now,
like
so.
We've said many times, you know, it's no longer just enough to make money. You know, people have got to do good nowadays. And if good means, you know, sustainable platforms, being able to deliver and equip and enable rather than just going in and inspire, which, you know, oh, that was a brilliant session. I really enjoyed that. I'm full of ideas. What the hell am I going to do with them? It's,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
there needs to be a follow on.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm definitely having fun.
Yes.
Even now, after spending over half
anything.
An hour with
half
you guys, you
like
wrestle
a,
the microphone
he's got a camera
from
attached
the
to him. Is he a cyborg? Don't trust him.